It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if they're special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. There you can sign up for our weekly newsletter. You will get first look at all of our upcoming guests as well as our most recent op-eds and podcasts. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com. And I thank each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. We'll be talking about a number of force issues here today on our headlines. And then we'll talk with a new sponsor of ours at the bottom of the hour, Kimberly Bell. She's the owner of Kanjani Coffee in Parker. And very excited to have them join us. Today is our Health and Hydrocarbon Show. It's brought to you by Laramie Energy as well as Caris Oil and Gas. And we are certainly seeing that abundant, affordable, efficient, and reliable energy is key to helping us live prosperous lives, to help us thrive and prosper. Makes us healthier, makes us more prosperous. And we've seen this some of the effects of the assault on our oil and gas industry. So we'll be excited to talk with Patrick Moore, who at the bottom of the hour regarding he's been in the environmentalist movement for many, many years. He now is the sensible environmentalist, and he's author of Confessions of Greenpeace Dropout, as well as Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. So you will not want to miss this. And my friends, remember, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether it's like in the old days with a weapon. But what we have in America now is policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, and our latest silent thief is government-induced inflation. I do thank each and every one of you for joining us, and I am really excited. I get to work with a great team, and that's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Tuesday, Steve.
Also known as it's not Monday anymore.
True that. And it's one day closer to Friday for you, for sure. So let's jump in here. I guess I didn't really say, I do appreciate each and every one of you for listening. And today, live with intention, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. We've got work to do. As I'm going through these headlines, there's so much to be concerned about, but yet there's such great hope because the veil is off on all these things that have been percolating under the surface for many years. And really, it's been since the 70s and 80s that this has been being put into place. And I'm grateful that we now know exactly what we are looking at. But it is a bit daunting, producer Steve.
It is. And we'll probably, you know, again, get into some of the nitty gritty here in a little bit. But in our pre-show conversation, there's just some things out there that you hate to be a member of the tinfoil hat club, but you have to ask some serious questions here as to what could possibly be going down in terms of government intrusion, in terms of just trying to influence people in a direction that that obviously benefits the government but nobody else.
Right. And when we say influence, there in many of these things, they're getting past influence. We're getting over into the force thing. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. It's not about free stuff. The free stuff is just the carrot to get you to vote for socialism. And so we're starting to see some of this force stuff here. When the carrot didn't work, we're starting to see the force coming in. That's why we have to stand against this, understand what's going on. We've been asleep at the wheel, and it's going to take some real work, and it's going to take some some focus and pain to get this thing turned around, because it's pretty prevalent these days. But let's jump in here. Our quote for today, I went to John D. Rockefeller because it's our health and hydrocarbon show. And he was the founder of the Standard Oil Company. He was born in 1839. He died in 1937. And he became one of the world's wealthiest men and a major philanthropist. He was born into modest circumstances in upstate New York. He entered the then-fledgling oil business in 1863 by investing in a Cleveland, Ohio refinery. In 1870, he established Standard Oil, which by the early 1880s controls some 90% of U.S. refineries and pipelines. And this is pretty prescient, I think, for right now. He says, when work goes out of style, we may expect to see a civilization totter and fall. And what we have seen with this free money from the government here over the last, the pandemic and all, it's really kind of put work out of style. And I see all kinds of help wanted signs, but people are economic actors. And when they've looked at it and they make more money not working than working, then work is going out of style. And back then, even Rockefeller said that is very difficult for civilization, for a society. And so we've got to get this thing walked back, Steve. And it's a daunting job with what is happening with the Harris, Biden, Obama, Rice administration.
I'm hating to think about what it says about our culture, because we are a mile wide and an inch deep. When you say, well, I can make more money just staying home, then that really says a lot about you and your character.
I was thinking about, as you were just saying, that word character. And we have quit teaching a character in our schools. We're talking about this leap, it's the learning. I should have that memorized, but it's the learning enrichment and academic program plan, I think it is, that's probably going to be on the ballot this year. And why on earth do we need to have an after-school program? And the reason is that they say is because our kids are falling behind. Because during the school day, instead of focusing on reading, writing, arithmetic, history, science, math, critical thinking, character building, we are focused on this critical race theory or iterations thereof. We'll talk about Joy Overbeck had a very powerful op-ed in Town Hall. And then also the sexualizing of our kids through the LGBTQ agenda. We have got to get this thing turned around, Producer Steve.
Well, you just now exercise critical thinking, whether you're aware of it or not. It's not enough to say, well, our kids are falling behind. Why are they falling behind? There's where the critical thinking comes to play.
Yes. And so let's jump over here to Joy Overbeck's piece in the Town Hall. And she's been writing for them for quite some time and was talking to someone. They said this is probably one of the most powerful pieces that she has ever written. And it says over 14 million students are being taught the radical propaganda under the guise of no place for hate. And she starts this off with, what if you found out your child was being taught in school that the police should be reformed, transformed, or abolished? That Georgia's new election laws that seek to restore election fairness and prevent fraud instead restrict and suppress voting across the state? Or that states must, out of fairness, allow transgender males, otherwise boys, to compete in girls' and women's sports? What if your four-year-old daughter was reading books suggesting that she may actually be a lesbian? These are just some of the lesson plans in an Anti-Defamation League program called No Place for Hate that is being taught in about 16,000 schools across the nation. The ADL was formed in 1913 with the worthy goal of combating anti-Semitism, but has become a militant activist engine fueling the radical indoctrination of school children in the extreme left's wish list, anti-police, damning laws for honest elections as voter suppression, promoting transgender males competing in girl sports, and confusing children not far out of diapers with the LGBTQ claim that they may not, in fact, be their assigned gender. She goes on to say, in Douglas County, where I live, you and I live there as well, Steve, this rip from the headline extremist agenda was implanted by the district's administration into 34 schools out of 89 schools in Douglas County. It's in primary, secondary, and high schools in the 2020-2021 school year, according to documents that Joy obtained through several Colorado Open Records Acts. And it's not just an agenda. It's deliberate, highly focused training designed to enlist young people from elementary school to high school into a radical army of woke social justice warriors.
You wonder, 34 out of 89, what was the criteria for picking those 34? And then after that, once you put it in motion, what is there also the criteria for measuring the impact and the outcome?
Well, and you just think about this agenda. Think about the school day. And what's kind of brilliant in a diabolical way is the way the left now has resources to actually teach their indoctrination into the schools. So they use tax money. They pay themselves to indoctrinate kids to grow up not to be, you know, searching for or a joyful life, a life of families and working and neighborhoods and community and this American dream, living in peace, but instead teaching people that there's victims and there's oppressors and the oppressed and dividing people and raising kids up to be angry individuals. And that is actually, it's cruel and it's evil to do that. And we have to ask ourselves, how do we let this happen? And one of the reasons is because who is elected to school board? And it's absolutely mind-boggling that in Douglas County, which typically has been a conservative county, a place where people conserve this idea of the declaration that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. How is it that we have a radically left school board? And I know for sure is one of the reasons is this is that the teachers union has come in with big money to influence these elections. And there is a very important election coming up this November for the Douglas County School Board. And it is important that people that do not believe in this agenda, that want to get back to getting our kids educated in reading, writing, arithmetic, science, history, critical thinking, that we elect those people instead of those that have been pushing for this agenda, Steve.
Well, you know, I should have known. That last question that I asked was kind of foolish. I've been reading Joy Overbeck columns now for long enough to know that she would answer the question that I did just ask, not so much for the how, but the why. She says, how do schools get transformed into activist training camp for kids, selling itself as compassionate, altruistic, anti-bullying program to fight racism and to, quote, in quotes, help your school create a more equitable and more inclusive climate, unquote. There's that magical word again, mm-hmm. equitable or equity, which has inclusive. Become a dominant theme in the strategic plans implemented by the state boards of education as well as individual school districts nationwide. No place for hate, like critical race theory, instead peddles the left's divisive political catechism known as equity.
And equity ultimately means that everybody is equal in their misery. And then there are the elites that are running everything, but everybody else is equal in their misery. Take a look at Cuba right now. If you're going to have equity, ideally, you have to bring everybody down to the lowest common denominator. But equality, which is what America was founded on, was the equality of opportunity, that everyone has an opportunity and there will be different outcomes. But when you want equity in outcomes, you get down to misery, unhappiness, divisiveness, hate and evil. And that is what we have been teaching our kids. I was recently in a Barnes and Noble, and I was talking with Oh, gosh, I can't remember who it was now. And they had also gone into a Barnes & Noble. So bookstore. I'm calling out Barnes & Noble. And they actually had in kind of the children, teen section, how to become an activist and social justice books and all kinds of things like that. And I was just a little surprised. And where's all the classics gone when there's only a certain amount of time that kids have to read things? And once again, if you're indoctrinating them all these different ways instead of aspiring to be the very best that they can be, to aspire to their own excellence, we're raising up, we're really cheating our kids when we are not standing up and fighting back on this, Steve.
Move over, Charlotte's Web.
Yeah, move over. Exactly. Hey, let's go to break. We're going to continue with some of these headlines. Another one that I think is very important, and that is about this proposed new rules to curb Colorado commuters' rile businesses. Well, I look at some of the businesses that are riled, and some of them have been in bed with, or some of these organizations have been in bed with this legislators and governor who have been very draconian, but now when it starts to affect them, then they start to get riled. I'm glad they're getting riled, but they should have been riled a long time ago. Before we go to break, though, one of my sponsors is Hooters Restaurants, and they have five locations, Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And they have great happy hour specials. They have half off some of their appetizers, and they've got different drink specials, and just a great place to get together with friends at the end of the day. So be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the sponsors tab, and all my sponsors come up there, and highly recommend each and every one of them. And you can get all the specials for Hooters Restaurants there. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue with some headlines, and then we'll talk with one of our new sponsors, Kimberly Bell with Kanjani Coffee.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you for the support that you give us also. The next headline I wanted to go to is by Dennis Huspenny, writing in the Denver Gazette. And he says that the proposed new rules to curb Colorado commuters' rile businesses. And it goes on to say, the state of Colorado wants all large businesses in the metro Denver area to track what their employees do before and after work when it comes to commuting. I have to say, really? It wants those employers to increase parking charges for gas-powered vehicles, appoint an employee transportation coordinator to administer programs that reduce single-occupied vehicle commutes and offer fully or partially subsidized public transportation passes, even if the business is nowhere near any. And it wants those plans from 2,764 businesses with some 900,000 employees, which would cost anywhere from $7,200 to over $800,000 annually to implement. That's probably the range for each of those companies. And they want this done by January 1, 2022, according to state records. The effort is dubbed the Employee Trip Reduction Program. It's part of a legislation passed in 2019. Again, my friends, elections matter, and also free, fair, honest elections matter. They're all connected. It says to help reduce greenhouse gas emissions in Colorado. And it comes as businesses are recovering from a pandemic year that saw entire industry shut down and unemployment skyrocket. And some businesses are understandably concerned about the new regulations, said representatives from the Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce and the Denver South Economic Development Partnership with the Colorado Business Roundtable. And I find this somewhat interesting because many times these particular organizations have not pushed back on things that have really affected Colorado. I'm glad that they're finally stepping up to the plate. But I think what we can look at it on this is, if we don't stand for principle over here, then ultimately, and when people think it's okay that government overreaches over here with somebody else, ultimately you'll find out that you too will be in the frying pan, and that is what is happening here. But what is so interesting, it says the Chamber in Denver South Friday submitted comments to the Colorado's Air Quality Control Commission, which is the 9-member citizen panel populated with Governor Jared Polis's appointees, which no more than 5 of them can be from the same political party. What is important to realize on this is that, is that this is the same, the exact same plan that when you go over again to this learning enrichment and academic progress program that is probably going to be on the ballot. It's Initiative 25, ostensibly raising a new tax on marijuana for the children. Guess what? That board is a 9-member board that will be selected by this governor with the no more than 5 seats from the same political party. But look at the overreach that is happening with this particular board or authority. And when we go over here to LEAP, this Learning Enrichment and Academic Progress Plan, I was talking with one of the proponents on this, and he said, well, I feel very confident that Governor Polis is going to make good appointments on this, and that we don't have to really worry about, I'm paraphrasing now, overreach on that, because Governor Polis will make good appointments because he's shown that he is in favor of school choice and options like that. And I'm kind of like, I don't think I trust that. And then the other thing about this LEAP thing is that the members of this authority get to choose their replacements, and they're unaccountable. And just like this over here, they're unaccountable to the voters. They have all kinds of authority, and they're unaccountable to the voters as well. I probably said that a couple of times. It's just very, very frustrating how we have let this happen, that we create this big administrative state, and people think that that's okay because there'll be good appointments, but we'll see ultimately you give people a little power, and look at what they're doing over here with this. It's absolutely amazing. One other thing, one other headline that I wanted to mention, and that is in this LEAP, this Learning Enrichment and Academic Progress Plan, the very last paragraphs, D-TABOR, which TABOR is Colorado's Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, and there's 3 components of TABOR. One, it says to politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, if you want to raise our taxes, you have to ask us. If you want to incur debt that we have to pay off, you have to ask us. And if you are taking in taxes above a formula of each year of inflation plus population, and you want to keep that excess revenue, you just have to ask us. But in this particular initiative that they're getting signatures on right now, and there's going to be a big fundraiser tonight to encourage Republicans to get behind this, when in essence it's the brainchild of the left. But the last 2 paragraphs de-TABOR that excess revenue. And so all of the money that we spend out there regarding fighting back on all of these assaults on TABOR, then to have it de-TABORed in this particular initiative, and this isn't unique to this. This is across the spectrum. And when I started to see that in my Parks and Recreation ballot questions, it's like, if you are going to do that, I'm going to vote no on that. So anyway, they want to keep that excess revenue is what they're asking for over there. But then this last headline that I wanted to hit, and that is from Colorado Politics. It says Colorado Democrats cheer money in their pockets as payments to families kick off. So they're excited to start to, again, pick winners and losers give free money over here. But when it comes to TABOR and that excess revenue, they want to keep that. And we're seeing Republicans that are complicit in that as well. And so we need to be aware of it, and we need to vote against that. But I want to move over here. I am so excited to have a new sponsor partner, and that is Kimberly Bell. She is the owner of Kanjani Coffee, which it is a unique, great coffee shop in Parker. Kim, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
I am so excited to have you as one of our new partners.
I'm excited, too. I'm excited for... if people want to come and join us, a lot of people meet there for different events. And it's a really beautiful place. Inside is a fireplace. Outside is a patio. If you're on the run, there's a drive-thru. We do a lot of community events. Of course, it's a cafe. So we have amazing coffee and drinks and pastries and some food items. So we like to make it a real inviting place, and it's very welcoming. We get a lot of comments on that, on the atmosphere and the service there.
Kim, can I put in a testimony?
Absolutely. Oh, this is Producer Steve.
Yeah, my church is right down the street, you know, just a little bit north of there. And I was mentioning to somebody over the weekend that the show has a new sponsor, and I mentioned who it was. And he corrected me. He says, "No, that's Kanjani, all right, but it's also Southeast Christian's second meeting place, second office."
Exactly. Yeah, we do. We love our community. We have a lot of connections. We get to know a lot of people, and that's what I love about it too. A lot of people pray there. I pray all the time over there. So that's, I think, you know, God's presence, and it has that really welcoming, loving atmosphere. Healing too, really. A lot of people come there when they're having a bad day and just hang out, listen to the music, watch people, you know, people watchers.
Well, and speaking of music, one of my friends was over, I think, Saturday night. I think it was Patty, our researcher, and she said that you had live music there and that the guitarist was absolutely fabulous. I did not realize, what are your hours? I mean, you talk about an entrepreneur because you start early in the morning, so tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we wanted to make something more for the community at night that you can go and have a glass of wine. So wine or beer, we have charcuterie boards. We have musicians on Thursday and Saturday right now. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, think about that. The end of the week, we're open till 9 p.m. And then we're doing game nights. We have events like Sip and Paint coming up on the 22nd. So people can go to the website, kunjanicoffee.com, KunjaniCoffee.com. We're going to have a back-to-school barbecue, and we're going to have wine and cheese tasting. So we're trying to really get some more events going on there.
Oh, I love it. Now, where are you located exactly, Kim?
We're on the corner of Lincoln and Jordan, right behind the McDonald's and the RTD parking lot.
Okay. And again, what are your hours?
We are open 7 to 6, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 7 to 9 p.m., Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And Sunday is 8 to 4.
Okay, great. Well, wonderful. I'm so excited. In fact, I'm going to be over there this afternoon meeting with a friend. It's super inviting. It's just it's a great place. So, Kim, welcome. It's great to have you as a new partner.
And thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And we love our first responders, and we love our military and police. So they also get discounts.
Okay. Well, good to know. So we will talk to you again soon, Kim, and I'll see you this afternoon.
All right. See you later. Bye-bye.
Okay. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Patrick Moore. It's our Health and Hydrocarbon Show, and we are realizing we've taken it for granted, but reliable, efficient, abundant, and responsible energy powers our lives and allows us to thrive and prosper and lead healthier lives. And we'll talk with him about, I want to talk with him about California, because they're having rolling blackouts. They're recommending people delay charging their electric cars. What does that mean exactly? And you won't want to miss this conversation, so stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I thank you for all your support and contributions also. Today is our Health and Hydrocarbon Show. We're realizing that affordable, reliable, efficient, and responsible energy has powered our lives, and we have taken it for granted. So that's why we do this show, is because it's important that we understand that our health, hydrocarbons, our well-being, all those things are highly connected. And so this show is brought to you by Laramie Energy and Caris Oil and Gas, which I thank them for what they do. On the line with me is Dr. Patrick Moore. And he is a co-founder of Greenpeace. He's been a leader in the international environmental movement for over 40 years. He's got his latest paper, The Positive Role of Human Emissions of CO2. Recent books are Confessions of a Greenpeace Dropout and Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. And you can find him at ecosense.me. He's the sensible environmentalist. Dr. Moore, welcome to the show.
Nice to be with you, Kim. Good morning.
Good day to you as well, Patrick. First thing, I wanted to talk with you about California. You were a co-founder of Greenpeace, but you also realized that for human flourishing, affordable, reliable, efficient, and responsible energy is very important. And the renewables that California has been moving to, as they're getting to rolling blackouts, they're now recommending that people might delay charging their cars, so delaying their mobility. And it seems that this California dreamin' is becoming a nightmare.
Well, it's just because people are being misled so badly about what really works and what doesn't work, and the expense of going into unreliable energy sources like wind and solar for the long term. I mean, over 80% of the energy in the world, and the same for the United States, is from fossil fuels. And we've been so terribly misinformed about the nature of these precious resources that we have. It's not that they came from Mars by enemies to poison us or something. The fossil fuels, gas, natural gas, that is, gasoline, oil, and coal, are all from life. They're all made by the sun, because all of those deposits were once living creatures. And people aren't being told the truth about this. Those living creatures, plants in the sea called plankton, and plants on the land, which everybody's familiar with, use carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and the ocean to make themselves through photosynthesis by using carbon dioxide from the air and the ocean. And those plants turned into fossil fuels in the ground when they were caught in sediments deep down in the sea and deep down under the earth. They are from life. They were created with solar energy. The carbon in them is the carbon that came from the atmosphere and the oceans as carbon dioxide, the main food for life. And now we're being taught that CO2 is a poison almost, that it's going to destroy the earth, when in fact it's the only reason that life is possible. So when we burn fossil fuels, we are simply putting carbon dioxide back into the atmosphere that was taken out of it millions of years ago by trees, forests, the plants all over the land, and all of the living plants in the sea, the kelps and the planktons, which is the food chain for the ocean. So there's nothing wrong with doing that. As a matter of fact, we are replenishing the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere that was once removed. And in that sense, we are actually saving life from a lowering concentration of carbon dioxide over the ages. This is all available on the internet if you study the deeper past. But these people calling it a climate emergency want us to think the Earth began in 1850, when it didn't. It began billions of years ago, and we understand the history of the Earth from studying marine sediments and ice cores, etc. So it's really time for people to get a better education on this and to recognize how absolutely backwards it is to be opposed to fossil fuels.
Well, and CO2, plants need CO2, which I think is important. And as you're describing this, Dr. Moore, it makes me realize that actually fossil fuels are very organic and they're very natural. But if people start to understand this, then it takes away the power. I had talked about a headline earlier in the show here in Colorado that the state of Colorado is wanting all large businesses in the Metro Denver area to track what their employees do before and after work when it comes to commuting. So if people really understood the narrative out there and the misinformation on this, or in some ways outright lies, then it would take away the power for government bureaucracies to do what they're doing here.
Well, the problem is they're using their power in a very destructive way. It's not a good idea to base your public policies on lies. And the big lie is that carbon dioxide is a threat to the environment, when in fact it is the main food for life. What plants do, and the reason we exist is because plants do this, is they take carbon dioxide and water. They get there in the ocean, of course. They don't have too much trouble finding water. And there is carbon dioxide dissolved in all the waters of the world, not just the oceans, but the lakes and the rivers. When plants use the sunlight to make sugar, they do it with carbon dioxide and water, two simple substances, one of which we can see with our eyes, the water, but the carbon dioxide is invisible. So they can make up any fake story they want about it, and no one can see for themselves what's really happening. What's really happening is every tree on the mountains and forests around you is made with carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. Wood is 50% carbon, and all the carbon in wood came from the air. But we can't see that happening, so they can lie to us about what's really going on and tell us that the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is increasing, which it is, because we're putting some of the CO2 back that the plants took out to make the fossil fuels. It wasn't such a good idea that plants continued to take CO2 out of the atmosphere until it went down to levels that were close to being negative for living things. That's what happened during the last major glaciation, when CO2 went down to 180 parts per million, very close to the death of plant life. So we, in a sense, are the salvation of life for putting the CO2 back into the atmosphere. And instead of seeing humans as being the only evil species on Earth, which if you think about it, that's what they're doing. They're saying we are the only bad ones. All the other species apparently are fine. The fact is, we are the best species on Earth in terms of evolutionary advancement. It's amazing what has happened to life in the form of human beings, what the technology we have created. And they're trying to make it out, these naysayers and doomsayers are trying to make it out that we are evil, when in fact what we are doing is restoring a balance to the global carbon cycle in the atmosphere and the oceans. And my book, Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom, the largest chapter in it is explaining this situation because it's very complicated, and that's why they're able to pull the wool over our eyes with these fake stories. But the 11 chapters in my book go through a number of other fake invisible catastrophes where either it's something that's invisible, like CO2 or radiation, or whatever is supposed to be bad in the genetic modified foods. Like, what is it? Nobody seems to be able to show us what it is. Therefore, it must be invisible. But not only that, it doesn't even have a name or a chemical formula. They can't give you the name of something that is in the GMOs that is harmful. That's because it's fake. It doesn't exist. They're making it up, just like they're making up this stupid idea about the oceans getting acidic because of too much CO2. That is also totally fake. It isn't fake that CO2 is a greenhouse gas, and thankfully there are greenhouse gases. Otherwise, the world would be too cold for life. So even the concept of greenhouse gas is being vilified and made into something bad. Humans are not by nature evil or bad. Most people are good. There are a few bad people. There's an evolutionary explanation for that, but I won't go into that right now. But the fact is, human beings are a force for good on this earth, not a force for evil.
Dr. Moore, we're going to go to break. When we come back, when we talk about something that we can't see, Steve and I both wanted to ask you about the ozone, because we these electronic signs here in Denver, when you're going up and down the highway, when they're not trying to control whether or not you're going up and down the highway, are saying that the ozone is ozone alert, and to mow your lawn after 5 o'clock and watch your commutes and things like that. And so I want to ask you about the ozone. So we're going to go to break. We're talking with Dr. Patrick Moore, and he is the Sensible Environmentalist. He is the author of Confessions of a Greenpeace Dropout and also Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. This is our Health and Hydrocarbon Show, brought to you by Laramie Energy and Caris Oil and Gas. And another one of my great sponsors is Castlegate Knife and Tool, a great little family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And they are a great place to get a wedding gift, or if you're a sportsman, to get that new tool for your toolbox there, if you're a fisherman or whatever, as well as if you're a chef or a collector. Great place. And check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Dr. Patrick Moore.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I'm very excited to be talking with Dr. Patrick Moore. This is our Health and Hydrocarbon Show, because responsible, efficient, reliable, and efficient energy makes our lives better. And Dr. Patrick Moore is, he's the Sensible Environmentalist. You can find him at ecosense.me. He's the author of Confessions of a Greenpeace Dropout and Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. Steve and I wanted to ask you about the ozone, because we're getting ozone alerts as we're driving up and down the highway on those electronic signs. And is this real? Again, it's invisible. Is it a threat? What's your thoughts on that, Dr. Moore?
Because there are two very distinct types of ozone, or places where ozone exists. We've all heard about the ozone layer and the hole in the ozone layer. This is in the stratosphere, so you don't have that on the highway or in the lower atmosphere. It's called ground level ozone. instead of the kind that's way up in the stratosphere that blocks ultraviolet light and therefore makes it less possible to get skin cancer. That's what that scare was all about. It turns out the ozone holes have always been there. They shrink and they grow with different types of seasons, but they've always been there, and it is a good idea to avoid too much sunshine. We all know that. You don't want to get sunburned. And the reason that people's skin is different colors is almost entirely because people with dark skin evolved in the tropics, and people with light skin have been for many centuries in the northern latitudes where sunburn is not as much of a problem because it doesn't shine that as often because it's cloudy and the sun is low in the sky. So that's why we have people with more pigment in their skins in more tropical countries. It's got nothing to do with politics. It's got everything to do with sunshine and which latitude you happen to be from historically or evolutionarily. Well, the ground-level ozone, though, is produced by burning fossil fuels to a large extent, and that is what makes the smog these days. It used to be that smoke was billowing out of all of our machines and cars that used fossil fuels because there wasn't catalytic converters and there weren't good pollution control devices, which we have today. So the air is cleaner today than it pretty well ever has been since the beginning of the invention of fire. And the problem with society today is it's almost as if we're opposed to all combustion. The Greens are against fossil fuels. Well, I shouldn't call them the Greens because they really are more like the watermelon, green on the outside and red on the inside. And they don't tell the truth about these things. The fact of the matter is ground-level ozone is what causes the haze in the air. And it's not exactly the world's greatest threat. It's not very pretty. You'd be nicer if it was total clear sky. But in places where there's atmospheric inversions that trap the ozone and other nitrogen compounds, etc., in the atmosphere, they combine to make this ground-level smog. And it's, I guess you could say, it's part of being alive today to have this in the air sometimes in some locations. When the wind comes and blows it away, it's beautiful, clear, and clear again. So these things are all being overdone. And anything to scare the public into submission is what it comes down to. And that's being done all over the world today and has always been done. And we've got to sort out what actually makes sense from what is just being used to make us afraid for our lives every single day of the year. It's safer today in this world than it has been ever in the history of human species evolution on this earth. The number of people dying in serious events and accidents has gone down and down and down to where our buildings are safer, our lives are safer, our cars are safer than they ever have been. And we should recognize that because the world can never be perfect, whatever that means. What we have a wonderful life in the industrialized countries today because of the conveniences we have. And they're telling us that plastics are bad. Well, the reason they're doing that is because the war on plastic is a proxy, a substitute for the war on fossil fuels, because nearly all our plastics are made from fossil fuels. I don't know if you saw this situation with North Face, the outdoor yes. clothing manufacturer,
yes.
where they refused to provide jackets to an oil and gas company, not realizing that their jackets are 95% made from oil and gas. And so are all the yeah. kayaks, and so are all the paddle boards, and so are all the snowshoes and stuff. Practically everything is made from plastic these days. It's a wonderful product, and it is being demonized by these people. And they tell us that when it goes in the oceans, it's killing everything. Well, then how come we use it to wrap our food and package almost all our food if it's poisonous? Plastic is not poisonous. That's why we use it to wrap our meat and our vegetables. because it's sterile and non-toxic and safe and protects our food from being contaminated. And as they make it as though it's a contaminant. And so we've got to educate ourselves about these things, because so much propaganda is being hurled at us every day about things mainly that are invisible and or remote. Like, I always bring up the coral reefs and the polar bears. Those are the two most iconic natural things that are being used to make us think we're destroying the world. The polar bear population is actually growing and has grown rapidly for the last 50 years due to the treaty that ended unrestricted hunting in the 1970s. Nobody ever tells anybody about that. That's why the polar bear is doing so well. As well, having a little less ice in the summer in the Arctic lets the sun shine on the ocean and grow food for the polar bear in the form of seals that eat fish, that eat plankton, that grow in the sea. The whole food chain of the Arctic is pretty much in the ocean. And those bears walking on those huge ice sheets in the winter can catch the seals as their main food. In coral reefs, they're underwater. They're way offshore. They're in tropical climates. Hardly anybody ever gets to really see them in a large sense. My wife and I have been snorkelers and scuba divers most of our lives, and we've seen the coral reefs in Indonesia that are the most biodiverse in the world, in the warmest oceans in the world. It's not getting too warm for corals. They like a world that is warmer than this one, like the one that was in existence for 200 million years before this ice age came and caused there to be huge sheets of ice on both poles. Take note, there are still big sheets of ice on both poles because we are in a glacial period called the Pleistocene. This is one of the colder periods in the history of the Earth, and they're telling us it's too hot. CO2 is at one of the lowest levels it's ever been in the history of the Earth, and they're telling us there's too much of it. Enough of these lies. We have to get the truth through to the public. That's why I published Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. It's on Amazon all around the world. It's selling very well. I sold 1,000 copies in one day just the other day, because people Wow. are realizing through word of mouth that it's telling the truth, whereas the mainstream media isn't covering my book at all, because in so many examples, it counters the lies that they are telling people in order to control their minds and control their thoughts.
Well, I take great heart in knowing that just in one day you sold 1,000 copies. People, I really do think, are wakening up, not becoming woke, but wakening up to what's going on. Dr. Moore, we have just about 3 minutes left, and I just wanted to kind of make a point on our forest fires have gotten more intense over the years, and I think it's because we have not managed our forests well. Again, the environmentalists have come in and said, you can't do this, you can't do that. And so the forest fires, which we've always had, have gotten more intense, and that is spewing all kinds of smoke into the air. So I submit to you that environmentalists are actually really affecting the air because of these forest fires. Your comment on that?
Yes, well, of course, once again, they're telling us it's climate change that is causing the forest fires. No, actually, it's forests and the wood in them and also the lightning strikes. And then, of course, there are the people who are careless with campfires and cigarette butts. And then there's arsonists. And then there's power lines. And take the example of Paradise, California, as a perfect example. In my book, you'll see a photograph of the burned-out suburbs in Paradise after nearly 100 people died because PG&E didn't clear their power line properly and a spark caused an inferno to take off. Why was it an inferno? Because they built that town right in a pine forest, in a needle tree forest, a coniferous forest, a pitchy forest. Coniferous needle trees are full of pitch. They go off like candles when they catch fire, and it spreads in the crown as faster than anybody can run or any wild animal can run. And so they just built it like that. When you build human settlements in the forest, you have to cut down those pitchy trees and make wood and paper out of them and plant broadleaf trees instead. Take a look at Central Park in New York. If they had in Central Park, a straight needle tree forest, pine and spruce and things across that whole park. If it caught fire, it would burn down half the buildings around it.
Wow.
So that's why people make a different form of landscape design around human settlements. You have to have open areas. You have to clear the dead wood out. And, you know, the first peoples who came to North America 15,000 years ago over the land bridge from Asia, and the first peoples that went to Australia 60,000 years ago when the sea level was 400 feet lower and they could basically walk from Asia to Australia, those people learned to manage the forests. Even though they didn't have modern technology or modern knowledge of biology, they learned to burn the fields and the forests in the spring when it's cooler and moister and there aren't high winds. And they controlled the amount of flammable material in the forest so that if a fire did start, it was not a catastrophic fire and it didn't spread so quickly and it didn't go up into the crowns of the trees. It stayed
wow.
on the ground. And
Dr. Moore.
It was called the fire stick in Australia. I mean, we should take a lesson from the first peoples who were here
most,
for thousands of years and figured this out.
Most definitely. Dr. Moore, thank you so much for joining us. We're out of time. That's Dr. Patrick Moore. And yes, we can go back and learn from history. So thank you so much, Patrick.
Thank you, Kim. Anytime.
Okay, and our quote for today is from John D. Rockefeller. He said, the secret of success is to get up early, work late, and strike oil. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.